From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns concludes his first message in a series of studies focusing upon the various occasions in which the Lord Jesus Christ referred to himself by that ineffable name, I Am. Here is the revelation of the God of eternity, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. And during his earthly ministry, Christ applied this name to himself, clearly declaring his deity, that he was and is God manifest in the flesh. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. So walk ye in him. If we have received Christ himself in our inmost hearts, our new life will manifest its intimate acquaintance with him by a walk of faith in him. Walking implies action. Our religion is not to be confined to our closet. We must carry out into practical effect that which we believe. If a man walks in Christ, then he so acts as Christ would act. For Christ being in him, his hope, his love, his joy, his life, he is the reflection of the image of Jesus. And men say of that man, he is like his master. He lives like Jesus Christ. Walking signifies progress. So walk ye in him. Proceed from grace to grace. Run forward until you reach the uttermost degree of knowledge that a man can attain concerning our beloved. Walking implies continuance. There must be a perpetual abiding in Christ. How many Christians think that in the morning and evening they ought to come into the company of Jesus, and may then give their hearts to the world all the day. But this is poor living. We should always be with him, treading in his steps and doing his will. Walking also implies habit. When we speak of a man's walk and conversation, we mean his habits, the constant tenor of his life. Now if we sometimes enjoy Christ and then forget him, sometimes call him ours and anon lose our hold, that is not a habit. We do not walk in him. We must keep to him, cling to him, never let him go, but live and have our being in him. As ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Persevere in the same way in which ye have begun, and as at the first Christ Jesus was the trust of your faith, the source of your life, the principle of your action, and the joy of your spirit, so let him be the same till life's end. The same when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and enter into the joy and the rest which remain for the people of God. O Holy Spirit, enable us to obey this heavenly precept.
Thank you.
In 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Lord said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land and the apparent powerlessness of our churches cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in this urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, "A Humble Attempt to Promote Explicit Agreement and Visible Union of God's People in Extraordinary Prayer for the Revival of Religion and Advancement of Christ's Kingdom on Earth." Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seek it seriously. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message, Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns concludes his fourth message in a series of studies dealing with the Lord Jesus Christ's assertions of His deity by using that name which belongs to God alone, I Am. He uses it seven times in the Gospel of John. In John 10, 1-9, we find his third use of I Am. As Dr. Cairns has explained, the passage is an allegory in which Christ defines the character of the under-shepherds, or pastors, as well as the significance of the fold. According to Christ, the fold contains many flocks, representative of the true people of God, who are under the care of a number of under-shepherds. The Lord Jesus makes it clear that He alone is the door, the only way by which anyone gets into the fold. The under-shepherds have important tasks as they care for the sheep. Their primary responsibility is to lead their people to a true knowledge of Christ. The passage also contains a warning against apostasy. For any minister who denies that Christ alone is the door, the only means of salvation, is not and cannot be saved. And now to bring God's Word for today, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
No congregation will be any more spiritual than the minister who leads it. And you can never lead people to an experience of Christ that you yourself are a stranger to. There's a whole lot of truth in that. Here's this man coming through the door himself. And that's how he can lead the sheep. So he sets Christ before them by precept. That's his voice. He sets Christ before them by his own example. For you know, the minister does his work best by being like the Lord Jesus. He's an under-shepherd. I've spoken of Christ as the door, and he's leading the people through because he's going through. But you know, there's also this. He keeps in mind what we learn later in this chapter. I'm only an under-shepherd. There is the good shepherd. There is the great shepherd. There's the chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the minister who is living in right relation to Christ will, as 2 Corinthians 3:18 teaches us, will by beholding him be transformed or transfigured into the same image from glory unto glory. And the more like Christ he is, the more he'll be a good under-shepherd. The final thing I'll say is this. To these under-shepherds, Christ specifically makes the promise of verse 9. I think here he's dealing, while the words obviously, as I've made clear, have an application to the sheep as well, to all who will come. Yet I think the primary interpretation here is to the shepherds. I am the door. By me, if any man shall enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. So while it's true of the sheep, it's particularly true of the shepherd. So what does it mean then? Some interpret the word saved to mean they'll be protected. They'll be kept from the enemy. There's a lot of truth in that. But others give it the full meaning of salvation, the salvation of the soul. If the shepherd enters in, he'll be saved, yes, personally saved. But is he saved because he does a good job as a minister? No. It's not by or because, but it's in doing his work he is saved. We read this morning in 1 Timothy 4, verse 16, and I have to say that's a verse that always puzzled me. It's a very serious verse. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. A great Church of England preacher of the 1800s said, it is a tragedy for the soul winner, for the minister, to save others and lose his own soul. That's a tragedy. For me to stand before this people for nearly 30 years and tell them the way to heaven and end up in hell would be a tragedy. But it happens. He went on to say, for the minister to save his own soul and see his people damned is an equal tragedy. So Paul says, Timothy, take heed to yourself.
as a minister, take heed to the doctrine. Maintain this doctrine over against apostasy. Maintain this doctrine, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. What does it mean? It's not talking about Timothy saving himself by his own work or his own effort. I think John chapter 10, verse 9 throws a lot of light on this. If we enter in by Christ, we'll be saved. In other words, the minister who lives and serves in and through Jesus Christ as his sole mediator will be saved. The matter is certain that no matter what a man's profession may be, if he repudiates Christ as the door, and that's what Paul's talking about in different language in 1 Timothy 4. He's talking about staying clear of apostasy. Any man, no matter what his profession, who repudiates Christ as the door, cannot be saved. In the 1920s, Irish Presbyterianism had a great heresy trial when Professor J.E. Davy was tried for heresy. They found him not guilty, and they later elevated him to be the principal of their college, you'd say their seminary, and later as their moderator for the whole denomination. That's how much they thought of his wicked apostasy. J.E. Davy could sway people because he could get up and he could give his testimony. His father had been an evangelical. He had said he was an evangelical. In his young days, he had even gone to the Keswick Convention in England and he had got the second blessing. But the fact is, that was his profession. But he said Jesus Christ was a Palestinian Jew who thought that the world was flat. He was just an ordinary Jew with an ordinary Jew's little mentality. He despised his blood. He denied his atonement. He denied his resurrection. And the point that I'm making is the point that Christ is making here. You may make whatever profession you like, but if you depart from Christ the mediator, you cannot be saved. You see, faith is entering into Christ. But it's not a once done for all done deal. It's not that you entered into Christ 30 years ago and that's it. He who enters into Christ is always entering into Christ. He who believes in Christ is always believing in Christ. He who comes to Christ is always coming to Christ. The man who repudiates Christ has never come to him, has never believed in him, has never trusted him. That's the point that the Savior's making. So they'll be saved. But what a glorious, glorious thing it is. He'll go in and out in communion with Christ. That's his walk. And he'll find pasture. That's his work. That's the work of the minister. Never forget that. A minister's called on to do many things. He's a counselor. Sometimes he's a PR man. Sometimes, well, you can go down the list. A lot of things he's got to do. But his chief aim in his work is keeping Christ before him. It's to find pasture for his people. Find pasture for the sheep. God forbid that the day would ever come that needy, hungry sheep come to the services of God's house and they go away hungry, unfed, untouched, unhelped, never pointed to Christ, never feasting on him. Now here's the picture of a happy, holy, well-protected flock, a community, a communion of believers, firmly and constantly facing the experiences of life in the enjoyment of Christ the door, their access to God and all his fullness. How do you become a Christian? Through Christ. He's the door. How do you get into God's service? Through Christ. He's the door.
That's the whole key. One mediator. One way. Only one. Christ. Christ alone. Now again, there's the door. Have you gone through? Have you gone through that door? Have you entered in to be saved? If not, why not today? If you're a Christian, God's been dealing with you about your future life, convicting you of the need for service. There's the door, the way in. The porter swings it open. And get in. Spurgeon used to tell his students, if God has called you to be a preacher, do not stoop to be a king. Good advice. I am the door. I am the mediator. I am the only way into salvation. I'm the only way into service in the true church of God. Let's bow together in prayer. Let's all pray. In a moment, the meeting will be over and you'll be free to leave. We've been dealing with the greatest issues that can face men, the person and work of Christ, personal relationship to Christ, the subject of salvation and of service. If you're not saved this morning, all the ministers and elders and church workers were here as your servants for Christ's sake. Come, let's open the book of God with you. It's time to be saved. And if you are a Christian, God's been dealing with you about service. I understand the fears, the inadequacies that you feel. But if God opens that door, God calls you. Enter in. Whatever you do, do it with Christ before you. Let us all indeed live to get others to Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, we do thank thee today for the Lord Jesus, the one and only way to thee. Oh, how we praise thee for this simple illustration that he gives. Enable us today to enter in, save the lost. Lord, set apart God's people for service. We pray that out of this very meeting thou wilt call under shepherds, send forth young men full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Yea, older men, full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, ready to do the work of calling souls to Christ. Hear our prayer. Part us with thy very richest blessing. Be the abiding portion of all thy blood-bought church, both today and evermore. We pray, giving thee our thanks, in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.